Janitor Begum, and I work in Operation Unite, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC, ACRA.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show Traveling Series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Daniela Dooling in Tivoli, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Rick Collin reports in the Times Union that Amtrak is bringing back on March 4th its early and late train service between Albany Rensselaer Station and New York City's Penn Station. A 5:10 a.m. train leaving Albany had not run since the COVID-19 pandemic, and the 10:45 p.m. train from Penn to Albany Rensselaer is also returning. Steve Strauss, executive director of the Empire State Passengers Association, said of the early train, and I quote, "If one has a Lower Manhattan early morning meeting or something like that, it is a bit easier to arrive on time, and people catch Amtrak trains to Philly or other places off these early trains too," end quote. The 10:45 a.m. train is now the last out of Manhattan. Both trains stop in Hudson. Now Amtrak's train 288, a Sunday afternoon-only route from Niagara Falls to Penn Station, is the only route closed by COVID-19 that has not reopened. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that the Catskill Animal Sanctuary in Saugerties is looking for a new home after flooding they say was due to climate change. Kathy Stevens, the sanctuary's founder and executive director, said on February 6th that, and I quote, "We are heartsick over this. We love this place. It's a very special place," end quote. The 22-year-old sanctuary official says that local storms are intensifying. Stevens said, and I quote, "We need to move 200 animals to a place that is not a valley. Everything comes downhill. We have done everything possible, but we need to leave before disaster strikes," end quote. She says, though, that she won't sell the property to a developer or, and I quote, "anyone who exploits animals," end quote. Stevens says, and I quote, "We're going to move heaven and earth to secure a new place and get it ready for the animals," end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. New York State of Politics reports that on February 13th, voters on Long Island in New York will decide who replaces the lying Republican George Santos in a special election that might help predict the elections in New York's other congressional swing districts this fall. Running on Tuesday are former U.S. Representative Tom Suozzi, a Democrat who represented the district for three terms before quitting to run a losing campaign for governor against Republican Mazie Pillup, a county legislator. Santos was expelled from the District 3 House seat late last year after getting charged with multiple counts of fraud and stealing from donors and being exposed for many lies. Larry Levy, dean of the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University on Long Island, said, and I quote, "It's a bellwether for the rest of the country in that candidates and political operatives are looking at the strategies and tactics and the messaging to see how it'll play out in their swing suburbs. February 13th is really about November 5th and swing suburban districts all over the country," end quote. A Republican loss would cut into the slim majority lead in the House of Representatives. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, February 12th. And that music is dedicated to the plow drivers out there. You know what's coming. We are 11.7% of the way through the year. There are 43 days left until the spring equinox. Local early morning temperatures range from 23 degrees in Tannersville to 34 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 37 degrees. Today is going to be a somewhat normal February day. Mild winds and a high of 43. Then, overnight, the fun starts. Temperatures dip to 31 degrees and conditions will be primed to cause closings and delays. That is going to be some thick, wet snow coming down. Snow starts around 3 a.m. It will fall lightly until sunup. Between 7 a.m. and noon, snow rates around an inch an hour are expected. It's going to be a real good idea to avoid driving at this time. Try to get what you need done today when it's perfectly safe. Go early, avoid the rush. Winds are not going to help out tomorrow. Blowing snow may further complicate driving and help the snow bring down some power lines. Charge everything. The snow will come to an end by 4 p.m. Overnight will be dry and temperatures drop to 23 degrees. Gusts Wednesday afternoon may complicate driving if snow is loose enough. We get a high of 31. Thursday, high of 37 and snow returns, coming down lightly all afternoon. Sunset today will be at 5:09 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:51 a.m. Looking way up, we see a G2 class magnetic storm watch is up as two Hadouken were seen lurking in the neighborhood. X-class flare chances have dropped to 20%. Plasma winds will be average at 527 kilometers per second with an average density of 8 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently bad till dark, then fair only below 8 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 144. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
From 2008, this is the Felice Brothers from Ulster County in Palinville. This is their radio song on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
dancing off of the trees. They got an easy way. Let's you and me go dancing too. Wreck out dancing shoes.
I always thought
That was Catskills' Amy Rigby with her 2018 song, Tom Petty Karaoke.
You and me, we're see-through, homesick and heartbroken. Would you turn me away if the walls were all I could see? In your place, just
That was See Through from the 2020 album Creation Myths from Columbia County-based musician Elvis Perkins.
We're talking with Russ Haven, an attorney with the New York Public Interest Research Group, and they recently put out a report on the Smalls Claim Court, which is where people go to basically deal with low-level disputes, though important, things like landlord and tenants and problems with contractors, sometimes with wage theft. So, Russ, you know, can you give us an introduction to this report and what you found?
Sure. So NYPERG's recent report, Small Claims, Small Changes, looked at the experience of people using the City of Albany Small Claims Court in calendar year 2021. And as it turns out, we had done a similar report back in 1978, so some 45 years or so ago, called Nowhere Else to Turn, where we surveyed people's experiences using the small claims court back in the 70s. So we had somewhat of a basis of comparison, and we wanted to see how the small claims court, or the people's court, as it's often called, was doing.
Well, one of the things that apparently you found out is that even when people win, unfortunately, they have a hard time actually collecting on their judgment.
Yeah, this is the Achilles heel of the small claims court process. And as we say, winning isn't everything when it comes to small claims court. So what we found in the recent survey of litigants or parties using the small claims court in the City of Albany, we found out that while a substantial percentage of the parties who filed their claims won, 80% of the folks we were able to survey, we found that 75% of them collected no part of their judgment. Now, it was a relatively small sample because of the difficulties in getting through to people, although we tried our best. But nonetheless, it points up a problem with the small claims court that NYPERG has documented over the decades and other groups that have looked at the court, that it's a convenient court to use, but the real stumbling block tends to be when it comes to collecting the money.
So has NYPERG proposed some reforms about how to actually, you know, make enforcement of the judgments that you win, better, more effective?
Yeah, absolutely. That was part of the reason we wanted to look at this anew, is to see, is the experience the same and what kinds of things could we do to improve the prospects of collecting when you win in small claims court. So some of the things we'd like to see done is have the judges actually use some of the provisions that are on the books that were put back in the law back in the 1980s or so, after the first series of reports that came out and identified collections as a real problem in the court. So the judges, for example, can require a party to disclose information about where their assets are while they're in the court. There's a law in the books that empowers them to do it. As far as we know, it never gets used. For businesses who are defendants in the small claims court, the court can make referrals to the Attorney General's office when they suspect there's a pattern of consumer abuses going on. That doesn't happen. And there's a number of other provisions that were initially put in to try and give some backbone to the collections process. But, clearly it's not working very well for the people who use the court.
Now, have these reforms been, pending at all in the state legislature, or has the state legislature made any improvements, or even the Court of Appeals, I guess, sort of supervises all the courts, have they weighed in to try to make this more effective?
Not really. I mean, the small claims courts, because lawyers don't practice there, because the judges are rotated in and out, we tend to think it's not given the attention it deserves in the court system. The legislature did make one key change a few years ago, made it somewhat easier to collect a security deposit that was wrongfully withheld by a landlord. And, you know, that proposal had been kicking around the legislature for decades. It was one of the bills that Assemblymember Richard Gottfried had introduced. He was in the legislature for some 50 years, and he was actually able to get it over the goal line in his last year before he retired. But even that needs some tweaking. But specific laws on collections, we've got some bills pending. NYPERG's looking to work with legislators to try and introduce some additional reforms that would increase the chances of success. Now, you can't get blood from a stone. So if you sue somebody in small claims court and they're so-called judgment proof, which means their only source of income is something like Social Security, or they're on public assistance and they don't have any real assets, those folks you can't do much about unless their prospects change. But we do believe with more information, with more help from court personnel, with access to information about where people may have assets, you could really boost the success rate when it comes to collecting your money in small claims court.
So if people are out there listening, you know, should they at this point, you know, actually try to deal with the small claims court?
Well, one of the interesting findings of the study was that despite the problems, a significant percentage of folks were satisfied with the courts. Back in 1978, 67% said they were somewhat satisfied with the court and their experience. In 2021, the folks who used the court, 76% said they were at least somewhat satisfied with the court and their experience. And 69% of our recent survey respondents said they'd use the court again. And I think that's because, as a practical matter, they have nowhere else to turn. You know, small claims courts by definition are in New York State, $10,000 or less. That would be the highest level you could sue for, but that's only in New York City. In the City of Albany court, you could sue for up to $5,000, and you're not going to get an attorney to take the case. And even if you did, financially, it's not a winning proposition, because by the time you pay the attorney, you'll have no money left to cover, you know, what you had recovered, you know, your losses. So we need to make this court better. And in addition to the other reforms I mentioned, more court personnel available to talk to people and assist them would really help, because there's been a big cut in the courts over the years in terms of court staffing, and you know, it's felt with the move to automation and all, it's just harder for folks to actually talk to a live person when they need help.
You know, and I'd expect that some people, you know, do like the situation where they get to talk to a, you know, landlord or somebody else they're having a dispute with in front of a judge, because everybody then tends to be on best behavior and may agree to do things, you know, irrespective of whatever, you know, is the final judgment. If people want to take a look at this report on NYPERG website someplace.
Sure. Let me mention two things. NYPERG's website, where you can get this report. And the other is for anyone who is interested in getting assistance using the small claims court. NYPERG runs a consumer helpline called the Small Claims Court Action Center. We provide free assistance. We don't provide legal advice or courtroom representation, but we can help people navigate the system and understand it. So the NYPERG website is at www.nyp, as in Peter, NYPIRG, as in NYPERG.org. And if you need help with the small claims courts, you can call our toll-free number, 800-566-5000. 5020.
Russ Haven, Nyberg, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Here's Hudson Valley singer-songwriter Lorcan O'Reilly with his song I Reside from his 2018 release Heaven Depends.
Thank you. It's all under glass. The prison really sucks, but that's just our bad luck. When standing in one spot begins to hurt a lot, tomorrow's all we've got. Tomorrow's all we've got. See how fast we grow. Nobody asked us to. And look what we've become. Me.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
What we learned in 2020 is that most Americans really don't understand our national election system. This has really been the space that nefarious actors have been effective in casting doubt in the validity of results.
Kim Wyman of the Bipartisan Policy Center says local election officials are in a unique position to help restore confidence in voting. Research shows people trust them, but with a third of those local offices staffed by one or fewer full-time employee, and many of those quitting after harsh partisan attacks, communication is likely to be a challenge. The FCC says robocalls using AI-generated voices are illegal. A faked voice mimicking President Joe Biden robocalled New Hampshire folks, encouraging them not to vote in the primary. State Attorney General John Formella says two Texas companies are facing criminal charges.
Law enforcement across the country is unified on a bipartisan basis and ready to work together to combat any attempt to undermine our elections.
Breaking the new FCC rule could mean fines up to $23,000 per robocall and lawsuits from people who got them. The White House aims to ease a split among Democrats over military support for Israel's war in Gaza. An executive order authorizes cutting off military aid if countries violate civilian protections. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren says there's no blank check, even for our closest allies.
This is a sea change in terms of how we approach U.S. military aid and its impact on civilians.
House Republicans will try again this week to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas after their initial efforts failed. Republicans accuse Mayorkas of failing to enforce federal immigration laws. He's dismissive and says they're dodging their responsibility.
We don't bear responsibility for a broken system, and we're doing a tremendous amount within that broken system. But fundamentally, Congress is the only one who can fix it.
Under directions from former President Donald Trump, Republicans in Congress killed a bipartisan border compromise they had spent months demanding. For his part, Trump has until the end of today to request the Supreme Court pause his federal felony election interference case. A panel of three circuit court judges last week denied Trump's argument that he is immune from criminal prosecution. Tomorrow is the New York special election to replace former Representative George Santos. While many are relieved he's quit Congress, his scandals are still on voters' minds. Voter Kimberly Kaiserman points to mixed messages from Republican candidate Mazie Pillip.
You know, we look at this and we think that this is kind of eerily similar situation to George Santos, who we also didn't know.
Pillip is a registered Democrat running as a Republican and has been plagued by inconsistencies in her campaign finance reports. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After oral arguments were heard February 8th in Donald Trump's 14th Amendment eligibility case, some legal scholars voiced concerns that the pending decision could have dangerous consequences. Justices Kagan and Coney Barrett expressed skepticism that the framers would intentionally grant a power to the states that could change the outcome of a national election. But Edward Foley of Ohio State University wrote in The Atlantic that the 14th Amendment intentionally gave states this power to prevent a rekindling of Confederates in power, however messy it might be. When asked what precedents there was for the Colorado decision, the plaintiff's attorney cited one 1868 case where the governor of Georgia disqualified a candidate for the U.S. House. But Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington cites seven other cases, only two with convictions, where the 14th Amendment, Section 3, was used by states to disqualify federal, state, or local candidates. In the federal cases, Congress refused to seat those candidates after an election. Election law scholar Richard Hassan of UCLA Law's Safeguarding Democracy Project suggests in Slate that if Trump should be convicted in federal court in one of his other cases, a SCOTUS decision ducking the 14th Amendment sets up a dangerous scenario where Trump wins the election, but a Democrat-controlled Congress disqualifies him and keeps him from office after the election. We have links to these articles at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beale. Thank you.
That was Poughkeepsie's Joe McPhee and Binghamton's Chris Corsano on drums, with Steve Swell also performing there. The song's called Ardent Disruptor from the 2023 album Sometimes the Air Is.
It's the Catskills' Shauna Falana on the radio at WGXC with Go on 90.7 FM.
Come on over, baby, we'll get you high. Come on over, baby, anytime we're rocking. Baby, we're rocking. Reefer Billy's gonna do the trick. We're rocking, baby, we're rocking. If you want good company, we're rocking. Pass it around, pass it around, pass it around, pass it around. Everybody say hey, hey, pass it around.
From the 2022 album Floating Ghost Hotel, that was Slink Moss Explosion from Copaig with Pass It Around on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Focus. Focus. Every community benefits from having a public square, public parks, public amphitheaters, public fire hydrants, drinking fountains, swimming pools. The public airwaves belong to the public, a public space that is here, there, and everywhere. The local community. Connected through invisible magic, the ability to be in two or more places at once, through the miracle of electromagnetic radiation. WGXC is a creative community radio station for Greene and Columbia counties in New York State's Mid-Hudson Valley, since time immemorial known for its great natural beauty. The land of Rip Van Winkle, the land of the Hudson River School painters, the land of video freaks. WGXC is committed to hands-on radio, available to all in the community. Music shows, contemporary, traditional, music from around the globe, jazz, rock and roll, classical, rap, country, avant-garde, novelty, popular, medieval, disco, skiffle, and much, much more. Programs about farming, economics, love, the criminal justice system, psychology, spiritual matters, call-in programs, and local events. Community radio, the most democratic medium there is, uniting disparate populations of Greene and Columbia counties, bridging the Hudson River. And radio has been informing, entertaining, exciting, and soothing listeners for generations. Every Saturday and every night after the midnight hour, Transmission Arts programming can be heard. Long after the sun has gone to bed, this is a special time for strange signals, sounds, noises, contact with far-out spaces, inner spaces, joy, fear, theory, spirits, the seldom heard or heard from, the sky's the limit. The Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, assigns licenses to broadcast over specific frequencies. Over time, these licenses have fallen almost exclusively into the hands of commercial interests. But the public should have control of the public airwaves and should have access to microphones, transmitters, loudspeakers, and exercise its inalienable right to perform